Jeremy, good morning.
Morning. Sorry I missed you guys earlier. It was late night. I was snoozing.
No, I understand.
I apologize.
Not what happens.
No, well thanks for popping on. And we all know that you were very criticized from comments about the Crosby process and how long it took, and you were sick of hearing about it. But after what you saw Monday night, does it make more sense to you how long it took for him to come back?
And you know, this is a misconception. All you Pittsburgh Penguins fans that want to rip me and say things about me, you guys don't listen properly. People don't listen properly. I've always been a Sid fan, always. You know, I believe he's the best player in the world. I've said that many times. But you know, when a player's not playing for 10 months, and I understand he's the best player in the world and he's the poster boy for the National Hockey League and he's so important to the team and so important to the league, I understand that. But I always thought that the team comes first. And the team was playing fantastic hockey with Sidney Crosby. And every day was the same thing. It was Sidney Crosby first, Sidney Crosby first, Sidney Crosby first, Sidney Crosby first. And it was always the same old answer. And I thought that the media was hyping it and hyping it and hyping it and hyping it and overblowing it and continuing to dilute it. And I'm sure Sidney Crosby got tired of the same old stuff also. You know, we're here to talk about hockey. We're here to talk about what's on the ice and how good the Pittsburgh Penguins have been without Sidney Crosby has been amazing to me. So when I said that, I said, you know, enough is enough. You know, I'm tired of seeing the same old answers. I'm tired of seeing the media go right to Sidney Crosby first. I'm not taking anything away from Sidney Crosby. I'm trying to give a lot more to the Pittsburgh Penguin fans. And, hey, if you want to hate me for that, you go... Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I'm a fan of his. I was so impressed with watching him the other night. And whether the process was 10 months or anything, I didn't say anything that he was milking it. I've had concussions. Everybody reacts different to concussions, and everybody's different. And you know, he is the star of the league. You have to make sure that he is fine and will be fine for 10-15 years left in this career. So. Yeah, it was worth every bit of it to see him play the other night and how well he performed. But a lot of the Pittsburgh Penguins fans that listen and watch, you got to open your ears, man. You got to open your ears and start listening before you start throwing daggers.
Yeah, believe me, we talk for 4 hours every morning, and people misconstrue what we say quite a bit. But let me get this straight: you had never in any way called Sid out for being a baby for not playing.
No way. I said he gives terrible interviews. That's probably the worst thing I ever said about Sidney Crosby is he gives terrible interviews because it's the same monotone answers, no excitement, no go out on the limb and say something that's going to excite the people. That's the only bad thing I'd ever said about Sid, ever. I mean, the kid, how can you say something bad about the best player in the world and a kid that has that much talent? I mean, kid, come on. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night.
Actually, I'm one of those guys who's in the locker room a lot, and quite honestly, Sid did not talk every day. It was pretty much about maybe once, twice a week, and you're right, there was nothing new, and yeah, I always try to get stuff out of Sid to try to get him to say something, and it's very difficult. He's been trained in that art since he was about, what, 13?
Exactly. He's been trained very well. He's out of the Wayne Gretzky School of Interviews, which is, it's not a bad thing, but I would rather watch somebody else get interviewed. But if I'm going to turn on the television to watch a hockey game, the first game I'm going to watch is Sidney Crosby because of the way that he plays and as electrifying as he is. So, you know, all the Twitter people that want to keep bashing me because you're diehard Penguin fans, that's all well and good. And Phil Bork can go on his mediocre career and keep living off of Mario Lemieux for the rest of his life. But you start listening to what you say before you start throwing daggers.
Yes. Oh, that was tremendous. Oh, right. That was nice. That was great to hear that. I don't know why I was laughing so much, but I was.
Greg was very entertained.
Yeah.
Well, we're taking shots at Borky.
Hey, we're joined by Jeremy Roenick on the Fan Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Now, back to the on-the-ice stuff. Were you surprised at how well he played? We knew he'd come back and be great, but that great right away, was that surprising to you?
I think that's a yes and no answer for me. I had been out with concussions, and I know the way that I felt coming back onto the ice, and it's a very scary, difficult thing to have to overcome. I can't imagine what it would be like after 10 months, but, you know, that's a tribute to his dedication to the game. He came back at the right time. He knew he was confident. He went into places that were, you know, that could have gotten him hurt again. And he was as fast as, if not faster than anybody on the ring. He just proved to me even more that he's the best player in the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody can question that. And I hope he continues to improve. I know the adrenaline took him a lot and the excitement, but the next couple of games are going to be really important for him to continue that comeback in his conditioning. But man, what a display he put on.
Jeremy, as good as you thought the Penguins were prior to Sid's return, how good are they now with him back?
We talked on the show last night and the last couple nights with that team. Just looks kind of unbeatable. The power play is one of the scariest power plays that I've seen. And granted, they didn't play a good team against the Islanders, but the way that they were having fun, the way that they played together, the center, their center position down the middle. You got Crosby, Malkin, Staal. I mean, Staal had an unbelievable game the other day that was overshadowed by, you know, Sid's greatness. But, you know, James Neal hasn't been talked about because of, he's having a great season. I think Letang is going to be up for the Norris Trophy this year. I think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be up for the Vezina and probably will win the Vezina this year. And again, you got to talk about their coach because their coach is a genius. There's a reason why he's a coach of the year, and he's going to be up for it again this year. I don't see many teams beating this team if they continue to have fun and roll the way that they're rolling.
Actually, Jeremy, I want to ask you one more thing about concussions, because it looks to be that the way that Crosby was treated here would seem to be a blueprint for the way everybody should be treated. But, you know, as you said, I mean, Sidney Crosby, he can come back, you know, on his terms. But is this going to change anything with the way that maybe the fringe players, the guys that are maybe on two-way contracts that are fighting to stay in the NHL and figure that they can't afford to stay out of the lineup, would they be afforded the same kind of a treatment, and will they be upfront about their concussions given their situation as opposed to Sid's?
That's a great question, and obviously I wouldn't have the exact answer to that, but if I had to guess, I would say absolutely not. A player that's a borderline player, that's a hard-nosed grinder out for 10 months, it'll be very, very difficult for him to get back into the lineup, or would have to work hard to regain his spot in the lineup. That's a long time to miss. And like I said, we said earlier, every person reacts different to different headshots and different, concussion symptoms. So, Sidney did what he had to do, and the league did what they had to do, and Pittsburgh did what they had to do to protect him. But he's going to have a spot no matter, whether it was a year or 2 years of being out. It's a terrible thing in sports. Sometimes that loyalty is not there, but it's part of the sport, part of the game.
Has this injury started the direction in the right way for the NHL and headshots?
Well, one thing I think that has happened is with Sidney being hurt and having this concussion, it's raised the awareness of it even more. I think the rules have kind of changed in terms of the hitting, the headshots. The way that Brendan Shanahan has been out fining and suspending guys, a lot of the awareness has been brought back heavily into the game, because you can't have the superstar of your league go out through headshots and not make a point of it to try to limit these hits that are going to cause a lot of damage.
Hey, Jeremy, you got about 30 seconds to go. I did want to ask about our good buddy Bruce Boudreau of the Washington Capitals, because the Penguins do play there here coming up next week. They went through those three straight losses where they didn't come close in any of those games, really. Is his job in jeopardy?
I hope not, because I really like Bruce Boudreau. I think he's a very good coach, and I think he's a very passionate coach. He just has some guys that just seem to fail to want to buy into the system and play the way that they're supposed to play. He's winning with guys like Chimera and Marcus Johansson and Brooks Likes and guys of that nature. He should be winning with Ovechkins and Semmons and Backstroms, and for some reason Semmons, the $7 million player, doesn't want to play every single night, and he found himself in the bleachers watching the game. And Ovechkin just seems to be lackluster. With only 1 point in his last five games, you wonder if this guy is not if not bringing the dedication and the commitment to Bruce Boudreau that he should be.
Jeremy, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. We'll be watching you on Versus.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jeremy. Thank you.
Jeremy Roenick on the Fan Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7.
Took a shot on my boy Borky. That one hurt.
You know, Borky,
my guy.
Borky listens from time to time. I wonder if
he happened
to catch that.
You can't tell me, and we're all partial to the guy because you guys spend more time with him than I have, but I've met him several times. Phenomenal. You can't tell me that's not funny, though. When Roenick goes after him like that. Like that is just great.
And if you know hockey players, they take shots at each other the time.
That's so why it made me so
that's
happy.
That's what was so good about it.
Yeah,
right.
It's not like I was agreeing with him.
Right.
It was just funny. It's just so funny to me when guys like that. Because that's like.
I love taking shots.
Oh, it's just
I love when people take shots.
It's phenomenal. All right.
And Borky's going to be mad at me, though.
Why?
I didn't have his back, really. I should have said something right away.
Well, here's the thing. Jim told me he was going to ask a follow-up question to Roenick, and then when he threw that thing out there, he didn't say a word. He backed right away. He throws it right to me, and I'm doing like a backflip in the studio because I'm
you're
so happy, and
I got to
pick up the slack. So Jim had that opportunity, and he ran away.
I didn't hear who he said. I didn't know if he said, if he met Borky or Bob Arey. I wasn't sure who he said.
Oh, man.
Just very funny.